Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underrated or underseen. And sometimes what we do is we pick a classic film that either one of us or both of us hasn't seen, and we try and decide if it's a classic or deserving to have its classic status, which is what we did this week. So let's see what we're going to be talking about. It's Ghostbusters, Alice. That's what it is. That's the film.
It is the film.
I picked it this week. Yeah, it is a classic. Yeah, that's
it. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Going to be talking about Ghostbusters from 1984. But obviously, first question everyone asks is, how is this underrated or underseen? As I said in the intro, we sometimes talk about a classic film, sometimes older classic films, this one being
much older, slightly newer.
And this week we're going to be talking about Ghostbusters because Alice hadn't seen it, had you, Alice?
I've never seen Ghostbusters before. This was the first time. I'm pretty sure you'd seen it.
Yeah,
but
so
I had to pick it.
One of my questions is, how have you not seen Ghostbusters?
Well, this is a terrific question, and this is why it was on my list for this. Like, this could have been the only opportunity I was ever going to have to watch it, right? But I think if it's just not in your house when you're a kid, like, and it just never, I never felt the need to seek it out, ever to go back to it. Like, it was just...
I think everyone has got those weird film blind spots, haven't they?
Oh, mate, I got heaps. I have got heaps.
And this is obviously, I mean, like, I've not seen loads of horror. I've seen most of the classics, but I don't really seek out horror. But then I don't think I've ever watched, like, I'm trying to think of a big one. I don't think I've ever watched The Godfather Part 2.
No, I've never seen any of the Godfather
films. I've seen the first one, but I've never seen the second one. So tell the guys at home that obviously you've picked it because you hadn't seen it before and you want to decide if it's a classic. Is that right?
Yes, that's what we went with. We've had Meet Me in St. Louis. We've had Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. We've had Rashomon. And obviously the next logical leap in that list is Ghostbusters.
We don't need to do that. It's Ghostbusters. I don't think we need to do the plot.
Group of fellas go out busting ghosts.
They're busting ghosts, aren't they?
Sigourney Weaver's there too.
She's there. Rick Moranis is there. So I think my first thing I want to say as well is I think this is a first. Have we done a classic before that one of us had seen?
So I do believe I think when we did Vertigo, so I think I had.
Oh, you had seen
was
Vertigo.
Was it Vertigo that you chose?
Yeah, we did Vertigo, yeah.
I was thinking, was it Rear Window? Just like, no, it was Vertigo. So I think I'd seen Vertigo during my time at uni. When I was studying film, like, I think that was one. So I had seen that. Couldn't, like, remember it sort of vividly or anything. So that one. But other than that, I don't think so. Yeah.
So there we go. Well, in that case, I think the floor is yours. I had seen it before.
Yeah.
What are your first impressions? And then let's move into what did we like about Ghostbusters?
All right. So I just want to make it clear that I don't think I'm the target audience for this. I think maybe I'm watching it at the wrong time. I know that a lot of people love this film. I thought it was okay. All right. I thought it was okay. It didn't blow my dick off.
Didn't blow your dick off.
It's no Great Dictator. No. It's no Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
It's okay. No Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Those are some of the other classics we've done, listeners, by the way. So if you want to listen to any of those episodes, they're still available. But there was my list of things to like about it is very long and is much longer than my dislikes list.
Okay.
It's just that the one thing on my dislike list, because there is only one thing, is a bit hard to just ignore, which we'll get onto.
Okay.
So it's funny. It is funny. I think so there's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of like one-liners. I think the way the characters interact with each other is pretty funny. I think Bill Murray is probably the funniest.
Mm.
And I actually thought that a lot of the jokes were quite timeless, because even though some of them are a bit, you know, on the surface may seem quite derogatory or whatever, they weren't received well. So like, it wasn't like everyone was going, oh yeah, this guy, Bill Murray's character, he's the best guy ever. Do you know what I mean? So when he's saying like slightly derogatory or creepy things about or to women, that's not being held up as some like good thing. And I do think that in that instance, jokes like that do stand the test of time. So a couple of the funniest moments were, one of them was, they were talking about something about why the ghosts were there or something. And one of them says like, oh, it's all because she must be menstruating. And the other one says, well, what's that got to do with it? And he says, back off, I'm a scientist. I quite enjoyed that. And the other thing was, at one point, Bill Murray goes, listen, do you smell something funny? Shit like that. I love that. I think that's good classic humor. And I think Rick Moranis was hilarious, and even more funny to have him going up against someone like Sigourney Weaver. It's like, my guy, she could crush you with her little finger sort of thing. So to have the sort of dichotomy of those two on screen together, acting alongside each other, I just found really amusing. So Rick Moranis, I thought, was very funny. There's like a TV advert that they do, don't they, for the Ghostbusters that they've created to be within the world of the film. And I love that shit, you know? I love it when it's like when we did Get Over It, and there was a guy who was in a band in that, and the film created the music video that band had done and showed it in the film. And I love stuff like that. I love those little touches and those little extra bits of detail. So I do think there was a lot in there that was quite funny. I thought that some of the, or what seemed to be practical effects, were really, really good, especially towards the beginning where they're trying to, are they in a library that's being haunted and like there's books flying around from shelf to shelf?
Before they sort of have their first bit of success.
Yeah, so stuff like that I thought was really effective, and it looks like practical effects, however they did it. And some of the CGI in there as well, I don't think it's aged very well, but I reckon for the time it was pretty damn good.
But it was,
it is still really fun. Like, it's really vivid, it's really bright, it's really characterful. So I did really enjoy that too. What else did I like about it? There is more on my list. Josh, what did you like about it,
I'm not so I'll say this about Ghostbusters. I like the film Ghostbusters for all the reasons I go into. I'm not a fan of like the franchise, so I've never seen the second one. I didn't see the more recent one that they made with Paul Rudd in it. I did see the one that they made with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig in it, which I thought got more hate than it deserved, but still, what, you know, I'm not here to talk about that one, but I thought it was okay. It wasn't brilliant, it wasn't terrible. So overall, what did I like about it? I mean, so watching it with a more critical eye, it is very funny. You know, like you say, there's lots of good little quippy one lines. There's good real dynamic between the four of them, because you've got the four of them are scientists. Well, three of them are scientists and one of them's just a guy. Mm-hmm. So you've got Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, who play the three sort of parapsychological scientists who form the Ghostbusters. And then they realize they need another guy, so they hire Winston Zeddemore, played by Ernie Hudson, who was apparently meant to be Eddie Murphy, but he didn't. I don't think he wanted to do it, or I don't know if that's just an urban myth. So you've got good little sort of different bits of energy. So Bill Murray is the sort of the likable rogue. I like the idea that it doesn't even seem like he believes what he's doing half the time. He just seems to be in it for the glory, in it for the chicks, whatever it is. Then you've got like Dan Aykroyd, who's sort of energetic and neurotic and a puppy, like he's Ray. And then you've got Egon, who is the full-on brains behind it, or seems to be the full-on sort of brains behind it. So I love that. And I love that idea that they are sort of winging it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't really know what they're doing. It's a very much a concept that is strengthened by the performance and the sort of chemistry between them. So I do think it is really, really funny. I think it's aged quite well. There's some bad aging, like you say. Obviously, the effects haven't aged that well, although I think that the fact that some of the effects aren't great adds to the charm in the same way that like older Doctor Who does, or other, you know, I watched Teen Wolf the other day because it was on telly, and like, the, you know, the effects in that are crap, but at the same time, you can see that they were good at the time. And I think it builds into the overall aesthetic, and it just strengthens that nostalgia for me. It's one of those films, isn't it, that it's a good... It's good. I mean, we've not long had Halloween. It's a good Halloween-y film if you want to watch it with kids. Although there's something about that that I will come back to in my dislikes. I think it's a real good exploration of show, don't tell. I think I made a note here that, you know, if this was made now, it'd be an origin story about why they're into ghosts, what personal stakes they'd have that are into ghosts. Whereas this is just, everything just is. They just are into ghosts. Yeah, they just like, are the way they are, yeah.
Because elements of it did remind me of Casper, and I suppose that's where you sort of think, oh, maybe it is a classic because it went on to influence things like that. But if you think about it, in Casper, obviously the dad's interest in ghosts comes from the fact that his wife died. And you don't get any of that in this. Like, they never ask, because one of the things I thought was weird was they never ask, well, why are these ghosts here? What do they want? Like, that doesn't seem to be on anyone's minds. It's literally just, oh no, a ghost, we've got to bust it, sort of thing. There's no like deeper,
it's just pure concept. It's just what if it's exterminators but for ghosts? But so I really like that. You know, there's a lot, again, a lot of good show don't tell, so there's a bit in it where all of the ghosts escape, and you see ghosts that they've already caught, but you also see ghosts that they haven't, you haven't seen them catch. So there's a bit where there's a cab driver who's a ghost and stuff like that. And I love that idea that they've been so successful that you haven't seen all of it. You've just, you know, that's just, it just becomes their day-to-day life and stuff like that. So I mean, I really enjoy it. It's like, you know, it's lighthearted, it's well-paced, it's funny, it's daft. It's got, I think, a lot of rewatchability to it. And, so yeah, I mean, overall, I do think it's really, really great. So what else for you then? Because obviously I've seen it before, but having watched it for the first time, I mean, I suppose a big question is, and this is very similar to, is it a classic, but did it live up to the hype? Was it what you expected it to be?
I think in some regards, it exceeded my expectations, and in some regards, it didn't quite hit them. I think in terms of what else I did like, I think the performances across the board are pretty strong. Like, everyone feels in sync with each other. They all feel like, you know, they understood the assignment. They know exactly what this is. And I also think there's really strong side characters in there as well. Like, not just their performances, but like just the sort of little bits of characterizations of them and, you know, their mannerisms and stuff, I think were really strong and made them quite engaging too. I think a lot of things like the mise-en-scene as well, and like the costume and the colours and stuff, that all felt quite immersive and just enjoyable to watch as well. And obviously, I think we've got to talk about, probably touch on the music, because I don't know Ghostbusters. Like, I didn't know the film before going into it. I didn't really know much about it, but obviously I knew that song, and everyone knows that song. So in terms of In the ways that it could be deemed as a classic, I do think, obviously, that piece of music has certainly stood the test of time, and it still gets riffed off today, and, you know, it still feels quite present. The logo as well, so their logo with the ghost, and it's got the sort of red line through it, that's an image that I felt quite familiar with.
Prime,
and I think people...
we're in prime Primark pajama territory.
Exactly.
Just stick it on, people will buy it, don't worry about it.
Exactly. But and they do, right? And they do. So I think that's quite a good indicator as well of it maybe being deemed a classic. For you, what else do you feel like, what would be some of the factors that you would use to deem this as a classic? How does this, when we think about the other films we've done?
I think we've touched on it there. This is a classic in a different way to, say, Rashomon or The Great Dictator, in that what we were talking about with them was how they influenced cinema. I think this did influence cinema, but I think it's different to compare a blockbuster classic to a classic, generally speaking, in terms of Rashomon. So I do think it's a classic because exactly what you've said there, you know, you know this film. You knew that Bill Murray, you know, you must have known that Bill Murray was in it.
Bill Murray was in it. I did not know, so I didn't know Sigourney Weaver was in it.
Did you not?
No. Did you know? And I didn't know any of the other guys were in it.
So did you know roughly what it was about?
guys go out busting ghosts. Yeah, like, yeah. That was the gist.
And things like, who are you going to call? Like you say, the ghost, Slimer. I bet you've seen Slimer on other stuff. The green alien.
Is that the green one? Green
alien. The Ghostbusters. You know, the alien. Alien busters, you know. The green ghost there. So for me, I think that's how you judge a film as a classic. There are plenty of films that I try and see as many as I can because I'm really obviously into films, hence why I spend a great deal of my time on this. But there are things like I didn't see Top Gun until a couple of years ago, but I knew everything it was about. I knew all the twists. I knew the lines. I knew all the quotes. So I think for me, it is a classic, which I'm sure we'll come back to with a stamp of approval at the end. But for me, it is because I think it's hard to go into this. Even like you say, you didn't know Sigourney Weaver was in it, but you did know the plot, the song. You probably knew what their costumes looked like. You'll have heard things like
overalls. Yeah.
Yeah. The overalls. The don't cross the beams.
Like, that's quite a common like fancy dress or like Halloween costume
Easy, isn't it?
Type thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it is a classic. But for me, what makes a film a classic? It's probably its legacy, isn't it? And it's different. I think what we're talking about, different types of legacy here. So Rashomon, unreliable narrator, the way it influenced some of the greatest filmmakers of our time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Great Dictator, similar in terms of the absolute brass balls of doing satire of that kind at that time. This, I think, it's pure influence on pop culture. And I think that's it for me. Okay, then we'll move on to talking about things that we dislike about Ghostbusters or that we change about Ghostbusters. This is going to be tough for me, Alice. As I say, it's not like up there as my top film, but I do think it's quite a big part of like childhood and nostalgia and all that, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, you've said that you liked it and that you've got more that you liked than you didn't like. But, you know, you also said it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what made it okay? What made it more, what didn't make it more than okay? What didn't you like about it?
So I've only got one thing, but it's a very vague thing. Well, it's very vague and it's very broad. And I hate doing this, right? Because I like to bring a proper, solid argument to the table. And not just go, I just didn't really like it. Do you know what I mean? That's not good enough. Yeah, but
you just didn't really like it.
Well, about an hour in, I lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, not really asked how this ends. Don't really care what happens next. And I'm just wondering if maybe you can help shed a light on why that might be. Like, why would my It just didn't hold my attention. And this is what, like I said at the beginning, I don't think I'm the intended audience. I reckon if I'd have watched this when I was a young teen, so maybe like 13, 14, I reckon I would have been into it, right? So it's silly enough for younger audiences, but there's enough like adult jokes and swearing and stuff to make younger teens think, oh yeah, that's pretty cool sort of thing, and to really get a lot out of it. So I do think if I'd seen it at the right time, then it would be like for me. But I just felt like now with the sort of stuff that I'm looking for in general from a film anyway, but then B, when you think about some of the other classics we've done and the impact that they've had on us, and this just didn't have that at all.
Okay.
And I'm sort of just trying to figure out why.
Because I think it might be. I think a few things that have sort of popped into my head with you saying that. The first one is that I think when we'll talk about whether it's a classic or not in the next bit, but what would make this a classic is probably not necessarily the content of the film, but more how it affected everything in terms of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, so maybe you were looking for what's keeping me engaged, but the reason it's a classic isn't necessarily the content of the film, but how it was received.
Okay.
So I think that might be something.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is it's very one concept.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of variation, you know what they're doing from the start, and then that's it. They're busting ghosts until at the end they save the city.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So the stakes are, if we don't do this, ghosts are going to take over the city, but there's no real other stuff going on. There's no real personal journey for any of the characters. Mm-hmm. They're just there to be the Ghostbusters. And that's not a problem for me, but I'm in terms of what might have kept you not invested, maybe that. And then the other thing as well, I think you know, speaking quite, trying to be more pragmatic and frank, it's very male.
Yeah, it is.
It's very male.
It's very male.
Very male centric. It's very. It's not testosterone. It's not the Expendables or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's four guys saving the city. Do you know what I mean? And the only female. You know, there's two real strong female characters in it, and they are Janine, the receptionist, and Sigourney Weaver's character, whose name I can't even remember off the top of my head now, which probably tells you.
Yeah.
Tells you something. So
yeah.
I would say it's that. I think. Mm. I think you're probably going into this a little bit after the fact. And I wonder if perhaps there's an element of, well, but what's the big deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think some films are like that. I went into Top Gun like that. Speaking of an 80s film, my dad loves Top Gun. And I said, I'd watch
everyone's
it.
Dad loves,
yeah, everyone's,
Top
everyone's
Gun
dad loves Top Gun. And I said, I did, you know, for me, it was a film that was basically made to try and get, you know, sell sunglasses, sell jackets, and sell join
the
Navy.
Sell the Air Force,
the Navy, yeah. So, but whereas I love the sequel of Top Gun Maverick, I thought it was a really great blockbuster. So I think that's probably it for me. I think you're probably looking, whereas I came away from The Great Dictator sort of going, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Do you know what I mean? And I came away from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes going, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Rashomon, I came away going, I liked it, but what made me get it was reading about the influence of the film.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what makes a classic is really interesting, isn't it? Because it can be something like The Great Dictator. It can be something as iconic as, like you say, Saturday Night Fever, which everyone thinks is one thing. And actually, when you look at it, it might be another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So for me, that's what I'd say. I think you're probably watching it a little bit after the fact, already knowing all the things you know, because you're now watching a film with the baggage of everything you're going in to expect. And I wonder if that's made you go, where's the fish hook? Do you know what I mean? Where's the sort of, where's the thing? Where's the sort of, I hate to say it, where's that X factor that's going to draw me in and make me really like this film? And sometimes that just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer?
Josh. Thank you. You've articulated what I felt without me even knowing
what
I felt. But I think that made a world of sense to me, and I completely get it. So thanks for that. So that was Josh telling you all what my dislikes were. So now Josh can tell us what his dislikes are.
For me, it's one specific thing, but it informs a wider thing. So I've always disliked the ghost blowjob bit.
Okay. All right,
or whatever. Well, never specifically says the bit where it looks like Dan Aykroyd might bang a ghost.
Sure, yeah.
And I've always thought, tonally, without that, this film is a for me, it is a family film on the slightly more older kid sort of spectrum. Do you know what I mean? So am I watching this with a 4-year-old? Probably not. Am I watching this with an 8-year-old? I reckon so.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas, because there's the odd bit where, like you say, it's a bit adult. There's like references to women and the way Bill Murray is. But I think a lot of that, or even the bit where they call someone dickless, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think stuff like that is either kids are just laughing at it or it's going over the head. Whereas the ghost bit, it's a bit like, it just sort of comes out of nowhere. It's almost as if someone had the idea. Yeah, but what if like one of the ghosts is horny?
Yeah, we've got to do this gag.
And we've got to do this knob joke. Yeah. And it's a bit like, and I'm not, you know, I'm like, we've touched it on before with like basketball and Kevin and Perry.
We love a knob joke.
But is it, you know, is this a family film or is it a 12A, you know, sort of more adult comedy? But for me, without that, it's a broadish family comedy and it doesn't need to, it doesn't need to have that bit. And I've always disliked that bit. It always, I forget about it every time. And whenever I watch it, I go, oh yeah, there's a fucking bit where he sort of bangs a ghost. Like, and it's just weird. It just comes out of nowhere. And it's a little bit like, So that's it for me. I just think tonally, you always get the impression someone went, this is a funny idea. And no one went, yeah, but think about the wider picture.
The audience as well. Or, like, who is the audience?
Or they were trying to tell a story that was just sort of, you know, you're 12A. And it just didn't quite make it to that. So it seems a little bit all over the place in that sense. So, but that's it for me. I mean, do you know, one thing I do want to say before we move on to critical perception is, whilst I do think this is a classic, which we'll come on to, although I've already said it, I do think the way you're looking at it is probably a really good example of the right time to watch a film. Because, you know, there must be other films where if you watch them, it doesn't quite get you. You go, well, I don't really get it.
What's the big deal, right?
So one of my very, very, one of my best mates, I'm a massive Star Wars fan, and he has tried, I've tried to watch it for you as my mate to talk about it, and he's gone, I just don't get into it.
Yeah.
He watches it and goes, it's just not for me. I'm probably the same with, we've talked on sort of like, I'm not a big sort of sword and shield guy. That's not a bit of me. Like, I can watch Lord of the Rings and fully appreciate what a masterpiece and how much work went into them. I just wouldn't pick to watch them.
Do you not love it and think about it all the time and cry every 5 minutes during the film?
There are people out there who absolutely can look at Harry Potter and go, yeah, I get it, phenomenon. Not for me, though. And I think it's just down to personal reaction, when it gets you, when you watch it. And I think this is probably what's happened for you. And you know what? That's fine. It's not, but...
No, we'll talk about that when we pause the recording. All right, then. So before we get on to our decision about whether we think this film is a classic or not, we are going to have a look at the critical reception. So, Josh, am I right in thinking you haven't seen this, but you've probably got a good idea
on? I haven't seen the critical reception for it, but I imagine it's... It must be pretty high because it is. Okay. I do think it's sort of loved by audiences and critics, right? I don't think we're talking a 10 out of 10, but I reckon I'd be surprised if this gets less than an average 7.
Okay.
For me, it's a 7, 8 out of 10 film.
Okay.
But the sort of legacy and the baggage of the film is all part of it. Do you know what I mean? But talking as a film, it's a solid 7. Let's say it's a solid 7. And I would be surprised if across the board it gets less than 7.
Okay, then. So on IMDb at the time of recording, it gets 7.8.
Okay, looking
and
good.
And then over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 88%. And then the critics give it 95%.
Jesus.
So that's an average old tomato.
That's an average of 87%, or 8.7 out of 10.
That's a big old score.
We don't need to decide if it's, you know, that's not. Obviously, I've said I'd be surprised if it gets less than that. I wouldn't give it 8.7 out of 10. I'm not far off, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's overrated because that's not what we're here to discuss. Mm-hmm. But what we are here to discuss is. Is it a classic? Mm-hmm. Box office wise as well. I mean, I don't have the sums off the top of my head. Do you?
I can do. If you
no, no, it's because what I was going to say is I'm fairly certain this was a big hit.
Yeah, seems like it would be, right?
Yeah, that's just so we, you know, so in terms of box office and critical reception, for me, I've seen it before. I think it remains a classic for all the reasons I've said in terms of the influence it had on. It's mainly to do with pop culture. It's not even necessarily the influence it's had on other films, because I think that's probably there to see in terms of the wake of the films that came after it. But like you say, like Casper and other stuff. But for me, it is a classic for the sole reason of, like you've already said, you know things about this film, probably know at least 5 things about this film if you really tried without watching it. Everyone knows who you're going to call. Everyone knows the plot. Everyone probably knows about Slimer, the logo, the car, the cast, whatever it is. What about you? Is it a classic?
I think that, like you said, about the some of the influences and just the sort of staying power that it has in terms of pop culture, the fact that it's riffed on so much in so many things, and that, you know, some of the stuff was quite familiar to me anyway before even seeing it. I think that's, in that regard, it's undeniable that it's a classic, because those elements of it have stood the test of time. It doesn't, as a film, as an entity, it doesn't, like as a cinematic breakthrough or whatever, it doesn't stand up to some of the other films that we have seen. So in that regard, I don't know if it is a classic. And just going back to what you said before, so box office wise, so they reckon the budget was about 30 million. And it made like over 250 mil. So like it made a lot of cash. It did okay. And it's still making money now as well.
It is, yeah. And you know, the merchandise, there's games. Do you know what I mean? There's games, there's merchandise. Like you say, it's all over the gaff. Like the song in its own right is a thing and all that. So for me, is there an argument to be said that this is our first classic that is what you might call a classic of the blockbuster era?
Oh, that's
so. So blockbusters generally considered to have been post Jaws, which is 75. So I think I'm right in thinking we've only done 2 films post that, which is Saturday Night Fever. Classics, I mean. We've done loads of films post that. Saturday Night Fever and this. And both were quite successful. But obviously, you're not getting Saturday Night Fever lunch boxes and Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, hey, that's a good idea, that, Josh. Hey, okay. Let's write the business plan.
So I think what we're looking at here is our first blockbuster classic.
Okay.
And that's why, and by which I mean, taking it almost more like a product than a film.
Okay.
Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think that is a fair assessment. And I think, to me, that just sort of helps me understand and realize why I feel the way about it that I feel. So there we are then. Ghostbusters, in its own way, in a different way perhaps to some of the other classics we have done, is a classic. Well, there we are, Josh. I didn't destroy it too much. I didn't ruin your childhood with my opinions, with my strong opinions on Ghostbusters. Anyway, it's your turn to pick now. What film are we going to be watching, talking about next week?
Next week, Alice, we're going to be watching and we're going to be talking about Kindergarten Cop.
All right, I'll try and not say anything. Give the game away.
For the listeners at home, Alice did a sort of little dance then.
Yeah, it was a bit sort of fists in the air.
Full disclosure, we've got to be honest.
Not to give anything away about that choice. It's all. No.
So join us next week. We're going to be talking about Kindergarten Cop, starring the one and only Arnie, of course. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsinthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for us, search for Just Films and That. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X now, TikTok, YouTube. All the links are in the episode description. We're on Patreon as well. So if you want some additional content, access to episodes a day early, extended episodes, ad-free episodes, click the link in the episode description and you'll find us there, patreon.com/justfilmsandthat. Tiers start at £1 a month and any support you can give us is hugely appreciated. We're also on the telly box, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find us on the local TV network. So that means if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. And I'm also uploading all the videos to Dailymotion. So if you head on over there and search for Just Films and That, our beautiful little faces will pop up on your screens and you'll be able to see us talking about all our favourite underrated and underseen films.
Yes, indeed. Lots of ways to see us and hear us, and we can't wait to see you next week to talk about Kindergarten Cop. But thank you very much for listening this week. We really appreciate it. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
It's not a tumour!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.